You're in a large meadow on a hillside. You lie in the grass on a summer day. Next to you is a former lover, Karen. She holds your hand. You're on your back, looking up at the sky.
Such a beautiful day, Lance.
Hi, Karen.
You see anything in the clouds? I love to see shapes.
There's one that looks like South America.
More like Brazil. I see a horse.
Her hand is warm in yours. Hundreds of people are out there, relaxed and enjoying the warmth of the sun and the coolness of the breeze and the calmness of the clouds that float serenely high above.
Look at the shapes of birds up there.
A flock of birds?
Do you see them? Coming from the east.
A huge flock of strange birds, not geese.
Different sizes and shapes like nothing I've seen before.
Definitely not geese. Some are much bigger than others.
Some are huge with puny wings, lots of different birds.
That one has a head like a hammer. Not a bird at all.
No, not birds at all. It's like we're beneath an aquarium. What we thought were wings are fins.
Yes, they're elongated oval bodies of fish. That's what they look like. Like we're at the bottom of the sea, looking up at them at the surface.
That's so strange. They do look like fish.
A bunch of fish. What are they doing up in the sky?
Fish that fly? Flying fish?
Those are not flying fish.
There must be 100 or more of them.
What are they doing?
They're stopping, turning, diving.
They're coming this way, diving towards us.
We'll now get a better look. Fish or bird?
The shapes high up in the sky swerve downward towards us. In a moment, they emerge from the haze of the sky, sharpen into focus.
Holy shit.
Oh my God!
No!
No!
Help!
No!
Holy shit!
Shit!
Holy shit!
The idyllic moment is shattered. A panic spreads through the crowd. From the skies above, sharks, barracudas, piranha, stingrays, man-eaters, and man-killers of every variety plunge downward. Jaws wide, sharp teeth gleaming, the creatures dive bomb with vicious grins.
Oh, fuck!
Run for the trees!
Run for the trees!
Scramble to your feet. A man's upper half is engulfed in the jaws of a large shark that has fallen on him. He's torn in half as the jaws clamp tight. A barracuda flops from a woman's neck as she runs and stumbles. Carnivorous fish tear at arms and legs. Rows of teeth rip flesh. Jaws snap open. Blood flies everywhere. Fish leap from victim to victim, snapping and biting. You run and stumble.
No!
Lance!
Whoa!
Lance?
No! No!
Lance!
Whoa! Shelly!
I'm right here. You okay, Lance?
I think so.
Some kind of dream you were having.
Yeah, it was more like a nightmare. A very strange nightmare. I was lying on a meadow, and all these sharks and other deadly fish began to fall out of the sky and attack people around me. All these people fleeing.
Death from the skies.
Yeah, it was surreal.
It's like a scene out of Chance of Maldador.
Chance of what?
Maldador. Comte de l'Entremont? Never mind.
This dream, what do you think it means?
I don't know. The sky is falling, that you might someday drown, or some large object will fall on you, like a piano, a safe, or an anvil?
You're just making fun of me. Do dreams do that? Predict the future?
I don't think so, but I think it's possible the future can be affected by a powerful dream.
Isn't that the same thing?
Not quite. The memory of a dream, whether conscious or not, is in your head. The imprint of the dream in your head might have bearing on the decisions you make.
I don't know what you mean. That's too much for me.
Don't dwell on it. It will only make it worse.
How can I not? A dream like that. I won't forget that one soon, and usually I never remember my dreams.
Why don't we make love, Lance? Forget all about it.
I don't think I can right now. I need to get up, get something to eat.
Okay. Do what you have to do. Your body is replaced by cold air as you pad across the carpeted floor and into the kitchen. The refrigerator door opens. Several seconds pass, and then you shut it again. More footsteps. You are at the window, I think, looking out at the dark trees and the dark sky. It's like you're closed off from the world.
There's nothing in the refrigerator. I know I can't get to sleep, and I don't want to keep Shelly awake with music, so I slip on my pants, open the far basement door quietly and smoothly, and step outside to the car.
Sometimes I think I don't know you. It's like you close yourself off from the world. You are a stranger, as if I am in a dream. That this is not my real life. That I don't really know you, Lance. This man I share a home and bed with. A chill passes down my spine, and I turn away towards the wall.
Inside the car, I don't know what I want to listen to. The CDs in the pocket remind me of Shelley. None of them appeal. I turn on the radio and hit the search. I feel lost, like I'm in a lost world. I turn the ignition on so the radio will not wear down the battery.
And here on the Holy Glory Hour, we will pray for this great nation that has survived these days of the nightmare of Christian assault. Extra financing you will need to buy now. For extra financing, buy now. By now, you are probably wondering when this ad will end and we can return to our normal programming.
All the hits all the time. Every bleeping washed-up has-been from many different decades forced down your stupid ear holes while we push a vast array of products.
Where creationist theme park gets closed down by a satanic theme park called Cretaceous Park. A deliberate attack on the faith that built this nation. Christians assaulted here in America, not some Muslim land.
I would say this is further proof of the Muslim conquest of America under the Obama-Clinton regime.
Latest theme park with unbelievable creatures from a lost world, a fantastic zoo of living monsters and Monsantators, an adventure unlike any other. A mere hour and a half south of Portland, bring the whole family down to Cretaceous Park.
Cretaceous Dark, Part 2, The Lost World, here on Ubu Radio Theater. As our tale begins,
exterior, late night, A two-lane highway through hills past empty lots. Interior of the car. You are on a road trying to find your way back to a place you used to know, and then you pull up a dirt drive. You're at the front door.
Hi, Lance. What are you doing here? You want to come in?
Is that okay, Karen?
It must be almost midnight, and you show up. Come in, Lance. Chet, guess who?
Who is it?
As if you didn't know.
Are you and Chet in the middle of something?
Come in, Lance. Chet, is this your idea?
Is what my idea?
Maybe I should go.
Who's that?
It's Lance.
Lance? Lance, come in, Lance. Don't be a stranger.
You want a drink? We have beer, wine, a full bar.
I'm not interrupting anything.
No, come in, come in.
We were just talking about things, Lance. We were talking about how we should invite people over more often.
How long has it been, Lance? Sit down. What do you want to drink?
So how did Chet explain the situation, Lance?
Explain what?
Cut the bullshit, Karen. You obviously had this all planned out. How did you know I'd go along with it?
Stop it, Chet. I can be quick when I want to, but not that quick. It's nice to see you, Lance.
Thanks, Karen. You're probably wondering why I'm here.
So tell me, Lance, did Chet put you up to this?
No, I didn't know where else to go, Karen. You know how to analyze dreams, and I had a doozy earlier tonight. A real whopper.
Really? You want me to figure out your dream?
Yes.
Sure, under one condition.
Whatever, Karen. Name it.
You let both me and Chet parse your dream.
Chet too?
We're a team. The intimacy of dream decoding, and you can't expect me to leave Chet out of it. Besides, he studied dream therapy as much as I have.
Well, okay, I was lying in a field with you.
I was in your dream?
Yes, and we were lying there looking up at the sky.
Where's that drink, Chet?
Coming up, coming up.
Lance wants to tell us his dream, and I'm in it.
Let's hear it, Lance. Just say whatever. I want to hear it. Don't feel like there's any boundaries here. Just let it out, brother.
So, Lance, you and me are in a field. Are we rolling around in the grass like we did at Potter's farm?
No, there were other people in there.
Was I there?
I don't remember.
Other people watching us?
What were they watching you doing, Lance?
No, they were looking up at the sky at some strange birds.
Lance, were we, you know, like Potter's farm?
Let's hear all about it, Lance. Lay on all the juicy details. Karen told me all about Potter's farm.
No, it wasn't like that at all. Everyone was gazing up at the clouds when these strange dark shapes that weren't quite birds appeared. And then they dived at us, sharks and piranhas and creatures from the deep, falling from the skies to feed on us.
Fuck, Lance, that's not what I was expecting at all.
Any sexy mermaids in the mix? When is it getting erotic?
What the fuck? Why are you acting this way? Why are you...
Come on, Lance, that's why you're here this late?
Go ahead, Lance, go ahead and feel her up.
No, why are you... What the fuck?
Isn't that why you're here? Because you wanted... To you know what? And Chet and I were just talking about that, spicing things up a little with our marriage.
We both like you a lot, Lance. Come back here.
There he goes. That was weird. Chet?
Don't look at me. Are you sure you didn't put him up to this?
No. That's so weird. I think he actually came here because he got freaked out by that dream.
That flying shark dream. You know what it reminds me of? That theme park they opened up across the river. You know, with the protesters.
Yes, the Cretaceous Creature Park?
Right here in God's chosen land, deliberate assaults against our sacred Christian beliefs. Like this anti-Christian theme park, constructed a mere 20 minutes away from our own facilities to coerce Christian children on the path of Satan, science, and secularism.
They said it can't happen here, but you better believe it can. The continual liberal control of the White House is leading this nation down the path of hell. That's why we urge all listeners to boycott Cretaceous Park.
Three more ministries are sending volunteers to picket this heinous blot to Christian ideals and to put it mere miles from our creationist Bible Park. So come on down to Oregon's newest and most exciting theme adventure, Cretaceous Park, where you'll see incredible dinosaur reincarnations.
Much later that same night, Lance is on a back road, listening to the radio.
I'm talking about Cretaceous Park. Who knows what kind of dangerous devil monsters these people are cooking up in those labs. I hear tell of a winged air shark.
A flying shark?
Yes, a great white shark that flies in the sky. And there's other things too. Cretaceous Park is an evil place and it must be shut down immediately.
That's why we are calling out to all good Christians to come join us for a protest rally in the front parking lot of Cretaceous Park.
Dawn creeps over the eastern sky. Lance has not slept. Too late now with the approach of day. He realizes he's not too far from Cretaceous Park.
They have something to do with the flying sharks. Maybe someone there can help me. Maybe my dream was trying to lead me here in the first place.
Not much later, he's at the sign at the turnoff for Cretaceous Park, the black iron letters in a Jurassic Park-like font. The P in park has fallen upside down to look like a small D, so the sign reads Cretaceous Dark.
Damn it, Corey! When are you going to fix that damn sign?
It's just one letter, Sven. It adds character, adds a certain allure of uncertainty.
The sign is the least of our worries, Sven. We need to hire more people. All the free publicity of those protesters?
Ha ha ha! Those religious crazies. They're bringing in more customers than the money wasted on those radio ads.
That's not true. Everything reinforces everything else. That's how advertising works.
Anyway, Leah, we don't need to hire more people. We keep the operation lean, and we'll make the unit profitable. You know what that means, Leah?
It means more chance of someone getting hurt?
No! Freedom from the bean counters and bureaucracy! No more visits from corporate back in St. Louis.
Until we get hit by a big lawsuit, all we need is for one of your flying killers to break loose. Then this place gets shut down. Permanently.
Flying killers? You mean the great white shark?
Flying great white? There's no such thing.
People keep asking about it. They want to know if it's real.
What people? Holy roly holic. The guy's a crackpot.
Listen, Corey. A shark? Especially a great white? Is too big to fly. The thing would never get off the ground.
A winged piranha, sure. Maybe a barracuda. Grafted with a large bird like an albatross or a condor? Or even a pelican. Voila! A winged barracuda. But the shark? It's not physically possible.
If you were creating one, you wouldn't want anyone to know, would you?
Well, someone knows something about something, if a rumor is going around. Seriously, Sven? How much is the Pentagon paying you for the flying piranha?
We need a backup funding source, in case Monsanto cuts us off. And we can't keep the park open. We need a contingency plan, Leah.
You're creating flying piranha for the Pentagon?
Think of it. 100 or more winged piranha let loose on an attacking army or a terrorist cell. We could solve a lot of military problems with an army of winged death.
You are sick, Sven. Breeding monsters for the military murder machine?
Stop heart bleeding on me with that bullshit. With this Defense Department contract, I can help keep America safe and strong.
And pocket a nice bit of personal change on the side, just like all the other greedy bastards who are eating this country from the inside. It makes me sick.
Come back here, Corey. He sure left in a hissy fit. What about Burst? Leah, where are you going?
I don't know who's worse, Ben. You or the Anti-Science League outside with their protest signs.
And then she's out of the lab area and in the main atrium of Cretaceous Park, walking among the visitors. The park looks rather innocuous, like any other third-rate science museum, except for some small, genetically modified creatures in a case at one corner.
This is all it is? After all the drama of walking past the protesters and the police officers? Some hokey rides, a few hologram dinosaurs? Really, a place for kids. Cretaceous Park. A real disappointment.
Lance sits down at the small auditorium at one side. A film has just begun.
Life on Earth began 3.5 billion years ago as microbial creatures. Through the process of evolution, after 3 billion years, these single-celled creatures became plants and fungi. And not much later, appeared the first arthropods and other animals, including insects. Still later, came birds and early reptiles, and eventually, a mere 130 years ago, from life evolved the first mammals. All through the wonders of evolution.
It's all lies! Evolution is a hoax!
Not this guy again! How many times do we have to throw him out? Call in the guards!
Through the wonders of genetic engineering, instead of thousands of years, we can evolve new life forms from other life forms in several weeks. We recombine the genetic materials of an iguana and an ostrich, and voila! We come up with something that looks remarkably like a small dinosaur.
They are messing with God! They make a mockery of all his creation! Evil!
Roly-Holy!
Evil!
We told you not to come back. Please leave, or our security will have to eject you.
They don't want me here because they know I tell the truth. The truth is at Creationist Park 20 minutes away. That place has the truth. This place, all lies.
Hey, you! You're the guy on the radio!
Radio? Yes, yes, I'm on the radio.
You were talking about a flying shark.
You know about the flying shark?
I saw the shark. I saw it in my dreams.
Okay, buddy. The show's over. Time to go.
Okay, okay. Keep your filthy paws off of me. I'm going.
Lance, is that you?
All lies! Evolution is a hoax!
I am about to follow the man towards the exit, but a hand is on my shoulder. I turn to look. I recognize the woman, Shelly's friend, Leah.
Lance, is Shelly here?
No, Leah. You work here, don't you? I remember Shelly telling me that Leah worked in a park not too far away.
Yes. What are you doing here, Lance? Are you okay?
You're the top scientist here. You know things.
Not exactly. I do research here. Does Shelly know you're here? Are you meeting her here?
You can tell me about the flying sharks?
Flying sharks? Ugh, you too? What do you know about it?
Nothing. That's why I'm asking you.
There is no such thing. That guy they just threw out, Roly-Holic, he's making stuff up.
Flying shark. They were in my dreams.
Really? You had a dream with a winged shark?
No, it didn't have wings. And there were hundreds of them coming out of the sky.
That's a strange dream.
I came here because I thought maybe someone here could help me.
This is a science museum. We don't psychoanalyze dreams.
But maybe someone else knows about the flying shark?
Are you okay, Lance?
Yes, I'm fine. I need to find that other guy.
Lance, where are you going? Let me call Shelly and tell her you're here. You just stay calm.
There's nothing wrong with me. Why did I yell like that? Parents and children give me funny looks. I need to find someone who can tell me the truth. The man who was kicked out. I reached the door. She trails a dozen feet behind me, watching me suspiciously.
Lance, come back here.
No, you're not telling me what I want to know.
And then he's outside, He takes several steps, the bright morning sun temporarily blinding him.
Where am I? Where's the parking lot?
That was the wrong door. And now we're locked in.
You mean we're locked out?
No. Locked in the biodome habitat. Shit!
What the fuck?
We gotta run. This way.
What the fuck is that thing?
It's part gorilla and part elephant. This way.
There's another over there.
That one's even worse. Part shark and part hippopotamus. A big ugly thing. But not very fast. Keep running.
There's nowhere else to go.
They're on the edge of a cliff, with the gorilla-elephant hybrid lumbering towards them. And 100 feet behind that one, the shark head on a hippo's fat body.
A real cliffhanger. There's only one way to go.
Where?
Down there. We jump for it.
Several hundred feet below them is a tiny mud pool of water. The enormous ape elephant towers above them, pounding its chest with its elephantine forearms, and then it's reaching its trunk towards them.
It's our only chance. Away we go!
She grabs his hand and pulls him after her as the trunk tries to wrap around his neck. And then they free fall while the creature above them bellows loudly. Only its trunk visible over the edge of the cliff. They fall!
No, fuck! We're gonna die or be horribly crippled!
Stop crushing my hand! Get ready!
And fall! And fall!
No!
3, 2, 1!
And then they hit water. Sputtering and dazed, he slowly pulls himself out of the muck.
Lance? Are you okay?
I'm alive. Oh, I'm alive.
He struggles to his feet, but then falls back on his knees, still weak from shock. Across the water from him, a dozen feet away, she stands with her hands on her hips. They're both sopping wet.
I made it okay. How about you?
Am I alive? Or am I in the afterlife?
She's across the pool of lust from him. His eyes bounce from her face, too.
You feeling okay? Tell me how you feel.
I remember when I... For the whole week, after Shelley and I hung out with you, the way you smiled to me when we crossed paths in the bathroom. I had such a crush on you.
The thin white lab coat and slacks soak through. The cotton vanishes like another skin to reveal, through a shimmer of watery gloss, her nipples and her...
Are we in heaven?
No, we survived. You can hear those creatures fight it out up there. But we escaped. You like what you see?
We're really alive. We survived. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You don't have to avert your eyes like I'm a leper. Look at yourself. You're not hiding that.
He looks down at his soaked garments. His fear-stiffened penis is completely visible beneath the wet fabric of his pants. He looks up to see her looking at the same thing. She licks her lips.
I'm cold. Why don't you come over here and warm me up?
I can't do that if you tell Shelley.
Fuck Shelley. It's just you and me. She doesn't have to know. And this is what you want. You can't hide that.
You won't tell Shelley?
No. Why'd I do that?
So she'll dump me.
No. If I told her, she'd dump me as well, Lance. What happens here will be our little secret.
Our little secret?
It's what you want and what I want. It's sociobiological instinct and a good post-trauma coping session in a highly stressed situation that we narrowly escaped in its natural selection. We survived, Lance. We could now be dead to those monsters up there. So why not?
Why not?
Tell me, Lance. Why not?
Because we deserve it?
Yes. That and more. Come and get it.
What do I have to lose?
He gets to his feet and starts wading in the water towards the scientist. She leans forward provocatively.
Shelly?
Hi, Leah. How's it going?
Okay, I guess. What's up?
It's Lance. He took off last night. Drove away in the middle of the night.
You don't know where he went?
No. If I did...
You think he went back to Karen?
No. Karen's married.
Did you have a fight before he left?
No. Nothing like that. But there was something.
Something what?
A dream he had. He woke from this dream.
People don't normally leave people for a dream. At least not one they have at night. Did he tell you the dream?
Yes.
So what happened?
He was lying in the grass and a huge shark came out of the sky and tried to eat him.
A huge what?
A shark. More than one.
A shark? A flying shark?
Yes, Leah. A flying shark. It came out of the sky.
That's really weird, Shelly.
A shark dive bombing people. It sure is weird.
Did he say anything else about the winged shark?
I don't know. Just the dream. A shark and a barracuda. You're a scientist, Leah. Is there such a thing as a flying shark?
Of course not. Birds and mammals fly. And shark are fish. Fish do not fly.
But there are fish that fly. Flying fish?
The Exocetidae. You got me there, Shelly. But they merely glide, not real flying. As for Lance, he probably got the dream from a photo of an old warplane with shark teeth on the nose.
Yeah, or maybe the Sharknado. I didn't think of that. Leah, can I come visit you?
Here in Cretaceous Park?
Sure. I need to get out of the house. I don't want to be here by myself.
That might be a good idea. There's things I can tell you that I can't say over the phone.
What if Shelly finds out? She can see things like that, but one of us gets drunk and blurts it out.
You're being stupid, Lance. She will never know. I want you. I want you to fuck me.
He is close enough that he can reach out and touch her breasts. And yet, he cannot step closer. She steps back.
Come here. Come here. Out of the water. The sand is soft and warm on this side. Come here before it's too late.
But what if... I don't know if I should.
Now. Before it's too late. Lance? Fuck.
She looks up at a strange sound from the sky. He looks up too.
What?
On the top of the cliff, the elephant-sized apeoid pounds its front hooves on its breast in victory. But he doesn't see that. All he can see are the wide-open jaws, rows upon rows of large, sharp teeth as the shark hippo creature falls directly on top of him, agape mouth first.
And everything is dark. Either crushed by the beast, or devoured by it, or all of the above.
That's him! That's the man who saw the winged shark!
Are you okay, son?
Where am I? Is this the afterlife?
The parking lot. You're with friends now. You're out of that terrible place. You were so weak you fainted.
I didn't get any sleep last night. I was inside. It was like a bad dream.
A bad dream, that's right. A very bad dream. You tell us all about the terrible place. You saw the winged shark.
It wasn't winged, it was coming out of the sky. It was in my dream. A flying shark.
What other horrors inside the park can you tell to our many viewers?
Inside the park? No, not inside the park. It was a nightmare.
Let me handle this, Reverend. Tell us about the nightmare, Lance. Would you describe it as evil?
Yes, yes, it was evil.
Hi, Leah. I'm at the entrance now.
He's here.
What?
Lance. Here.
He's there?
Uh-huh. About 30 minutes ago. I called you as soon as I could.
Well, put him on the phone, Leah.
I can't do that. You need to get here.
Is he okay?
He'll be okay.
Did he get hurt?
Nothing serious. He collapsed in the parking lot. But he'll be fine. We have him in a room. Sedated.
Sedated?
He needed to rest. He got no sleep last night.
Why was he there? Was it that dream that he had? Was he having some sort of breakdown?
I can't say anything more until you get here, Shelley.
Ladies and gentlemen, I talked to a man today who has actually seen the winged shark. They took him inside and they won't let him back out. But I already have him on tape.
Not tape, digital media, Rolly.
I have him bearing witness that the winged shark exists because he saw one. Now, I think he knows a lot more. I think he can spill the beans on Cretaceous Park. And we can shutter this abomination for good.
Once we shut this foul place down, Creationist Park will be saved. I knew you'd find the dirt on them.
But they're on to me. They won't let him back out for another interview. I don't even know if he's still alive in there. But so far, we've seen neither hearse nor ambulance.
But then, we'll never get the dirt on them.
No. One mistake will only lead to a far worse mistake. They are falling into our trap. The attempt to cover up will become as prosecutable as the original crime. They just roll double or nothing. Each time they think they are winning, they are set up to lose far more.
Let's go to that interview now with Lance Channing, who can tell us a little of what he saw inside.
Like a bad dream.
You saw the winged shark?
It was winged. It was coming out of the sky. It was a flying shark. It was like a nightmare.
What other horrors inside the park can you tell to our many viewers?
Inside the park. It was evil. A nightmare.
And he was about to tell us much more, but at that moment, the Cretaceous people, with the help of the police, took him away from us, took him inside the park, and he has not come out since. That was 2 days ago. What are they hiding? What are they covering up?
This story hasn't ended. Not by a long shot. But we'll get to the bottom of it. You keep it tuned here, listener, because we will get to the bottom of it.
This has been the Ubu production of Cretaceous Dark, Part 2, The Lost World. The Lost World was written and directed by Rolf Severbon and performed by...
Rolf.
Demi.
Anne.
Larry.
Ken.
M. Watson.
Your name, man.
Randy Saucepan.
To hear Cretaceous Dark Part 1 or other Ubu Hour dramas, go to kboo.fm and look for Ubu Hour, that's spelled U-B-U. And stay tuned to the Ubu Hour. Sometime in the future, we will air Part 3, the thrilling conclusion to Cretaceous Dark.